Some of you young people that are out there, you can hear me and I can see you very well. Thank you for being out there. And at the end of the service, I'm going to give you a chance to respond. And I want you to be open to that. And don't let those glass doors stop you from coming right up if God speaks to you, okay? Good. Megan, you can lead the way back there. I'm teasing you. That's Tony's girl, okay? So she's going to do an internship with me, I think, this summer or this fall, maybe do some work with me in my office. So I have to get her used to being picked on a little bit right now. So I would say it's a joy to have Mark Taylor with us. And some of you haven't had Mark, the chance to meet Mark. But Doug is right. He was moving up through the corporate ladder in Dayton Power and Electric Company and probably would have been CEO or right near the top by now. And he took a tremendous pay cut. And then when I came, I called him back and said, "You got to come back. I need you now." So we did it again. And Mark and Lois are dear people. I introduce you to them because something's going on financially in our world right now. And I think Christian people should be investing in Christian causes. And right now what's so beautiful is even if you didn't want to make money off Christian causes, you can make a lot of money off Christian causes right now. Because if you do an annuity, whether it's here or other places, you can get 5 to 9% instead of that 1% you're getting in the CD. And then you can leave some dollars through that to the organizations that are doing the annuities. So if you'd like to talk to him about your CDs or some of those annuities that would give you a much higher rate, that's why I said, come down. This is a benefit for the kingdom of God. I've already put my estate. I'm only 45. If I die very quickly, my stuff is going to Ojai Christian, to the church, to a couple other colleges I love and support, to some folks in ministry. I'm laying up treasures in heaven. I'm not leaving it for my kids to all fight over. If you are, you got something that you need to talk to God about. Take care of your kids first. I believe that's scriptural. Take care of your church. But we need Christian people to be investing in camps like this. I'm sitting here adding it up. We have, 100 young people? I don't know. We have 100 young people, $400 apiece. Some of them get called into the ministry. What an investment. What an investment. Brother Doug, you had me ready to give everything away tonight if you just kept talking. My wife says I already do that. So once in a while we go to service and somebody will make a plea, a missionary will make a plea, and she'll say, "Honey, we don't have any more to give. You just gave to the last four missionaries." And I'll say, "Okay, we're going to try to give a little bit here, though." So I love to give. Tonight I want to talk to you from a verse in Ephesians chapter 3. I'm not going to read the whole entire passage. I should, probably, but I'm going to start with verse 14. It's a prayer. And spend a little time with you regarding this. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." Mama, I could preach a sermon right there. That's good stuff. Take time to read it and study it sometime. "That He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness." Notice that. Filled with all the fullness of God. "Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all the ages, without world without end. Amen." What a beautiful, beautiful prayer. Before I start, let me just say, I've preached a lot this weekend. You're probably tired of hearing me. You haven't heard Burt Jones yet. You need to come tomorrow night and Wednesday night and Friday night. My load slackens just a little. And you're going to get more of him. He's a great preacher, giving great truth, great practical truth. Make sure you come and hear him. And he does a great job. So, Bert, you can say nice things about me tomorrow night, okay? Thank you. I love that verse. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Tonight, are you hungry? You'll say, well, Dr. Smith, we just ate. Just had a nice meal. Let me say to the cooks, you do a great job here. I haven't had fried food like this in years. I live up north. Man, I've been coming home, and I said to my wife, I said, I got to take a meal or two off to let my system adjust a little bit here. This is good southern food. I feel like I could just move in with you. That'd be nice. But are you hungry tonight? Are you spiritually hungry? Would you like to be filled with all the fullness of God? One of the highlights of my teenage years were the days when my dad would say, son, I want to take you on a trip. I typically worked hard in school and tried to make good grades, and I found out, I've tried to tell my 17-year-old this, and he's not here so I can talk about him a little. But I've tried to tell him, if you make good grades in school, Dad can pull you out once in a while and do some special things. And my dad used to do that. Gave me a beautiful example of that. And one of the things that he would do with me from my freshman year through my senior year, he was a vice president of sales for a lumber company, and besides the farm, he did that, and that was his occupation, and he'd pull me out of school and say, you want to go on a trip with me tomorrow? Of course, I always wanted to be a dad. That was a special time. So we would get up about 6 o'clock in the morning, and we'd head down through the picturesque Appalachian Mountains and down Route 89 into North Carolina through the red clay tobacco fields, and we'd end up at our first stop. Now, our first stop was not a furniture plant to sell lumber. I knew what the first stop was going to be. It was Winston-Salem, North Carolina. And it was the original Hot Nail Krispy Kreme donut shop. Now, you can just imagine a guy who's baled hay all summer and a guy who's lifts weights, and a guy who's in high school and likes sports and is very involved, you can imagine what would happen when I walked in that shop. This was 1 or 2 days a year. And so we'd get there, and Dad would always look at me and smile. And he'd say to the waitress, give us a dozen. You ever had those Hot Nail Krispy Kremes? Man, when that sign's on, my car automatically goes there. It just turns. And now my son, who's 17, and my little guy over here, who's 7, they see the sign on and they say, Daddy, are we going? They know what's going to happen. We're going to Krispy Kreme Donut. You put one in your mouth, and I would do this as a boy, and that first one just melted so fast, I had to grab another one right quick and get it in. And before I knew it, a dozen donuts was gone that morning. And I don't think Dad ate too many. What I loved about it, Dad would look at me and he'd say, want another dozen? Those were teenage memories that I'll never forget. You know, I've thought back to that as I've gone through my spiritual life. The last few years of my life, as I've grown closer to God, I've been in so many churches, and where I was raised, it seemed that much of the focus was on the rules of the church. Much of the focus in the holiness movement was on the rules that were to be established, and I'm not here to diss those or put those down, but it was rare that I heard a relationship sermon A sermon about God and what you could enjoy with Him. And what I've found the last 20 years as I've grown in my relationship is that I can have just as much of God as I want. The donuts are hot. And God's saying, come and get them. You can have as many as you want. This beautiful theme runs throughout Scripture. The psalmist in Psalm 103 says that we are to be filled with the good things, the benefits of God. In Psalms 107 verse 9, he said he satisfies the longing soul and he fills the hungry heart. If you look in the New Testament, you find that Jesus challenges us right off in the Sermon on the Mount when He says, blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And we look into the Apostle Paul's writing, and he says here in his Word tonight that we can have all of God and be filled with all the fullness of God. When you look into Peter's writings, you find that Peter says we're to be filled with the pure, unadulterated milk of God's Word. You see, what I see as a theme throughout Scripture is this, that God is saying, the donuts are hot, come and get them. You can have as much of me as you want. You can be filled with all of God that you want. The simplicity of this is this. The simplicity of getting all of God is first, you must understand, that it starts with your salvation. God gave His Son for your salvation. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. I'm glad that wasn't for just that generation when Jesus was saying that. But I'm glad that's for you and that's for me tonight. That anyone, whosoever will, may come to Jesus Christ tonight and experience salvation. Aren't you glad for that tonight? You see, God is at work drawing men unto Himself. And let me say to you, if you're here tonight, and you haven't experienced the saving grace of Jesus Christ, you will never be happy in life. I've met people who've tried everything you could imagine. They've tried free love. They've tried drugs. They've tried alcohol. They've tried all the pleasures of this world. And at the end, they come and say they're still not happy. But I can introduce you to Jesus tonight. And Jesus will fill all of your longings. He will satisfy your heart tonight. And you won't be happy. You're created in His image. And you won't be happy until you're filled with all of God. God, first of all, wants us to be saved. The simplicity of getting all of God, secondly, is God gave His Son for your entire sanctification. God wants us to grow in Him. As you become a Christian, you will walk in the light as He is in the light, and you will have a growing awareness that there's something on the inside that needs to be dealt with. For some, it happens very quickly. For some, it takes a little longer. Their wills may be not fully submitted. Maybe they don't comprehend quite as quick. But there's something on the inside we find that must be dealt with. And we call that inbred sin. Some call it the carnal nature. But it is that enmity with God. It is not in a right relationship with God. You simply understand that something inside is causing you to have a propensity towards sin. And it must be dealt with. But I found out in this as well that God has prepared a plan whereby through an act of full consecration, an act of full surrender, that He wants to come in and fill you with all of His fullness. Oh yes, there's a process that leads to the point of understanding there's a need inside. But there is a moment in time when God wants to cleanse your heart and purify your heart and make you and fill you with all of His perfect love. God wants to entirely sanctify you and cleanse you and purify you tonight. One of the reasons so many struggle in the church is they've not gotten all the fullness of God. You get saved and say, I'm okay. You wonder why there's a struggle. You wonder why you go on and have that propensity towards sin. Let me tell you what you need tonight. You need to experience a fresh bathing wind of God. You need to experience again the cleansing flow of God. You need to understand that God wants to cleanse the inbred sin that is within. And you can experience entire sanctification, which is the next step after you're saved. The next step in a moment of time, God cleansing your heart. Have you been cleansed tonight? Have you been purified tonight? Do you have the perfect love of God within your heart? I remember I was a Bible college student. You probably won't believe this, but I was in Greek class. I was 19 years old. And our professor would come in every morning, and this is what he would say. Men, there were seven of us in that Greek class. He'd say, are you saved? Are you walking in all the light? Sort of made us a Wesley accountability group. Are you entirely sanctified? Has God cleansed your heart? Has God purified you? Has God filled your heart with perfect love? And I was in that class, and this was some years after I was saved. I was already called into the ministry. I already felt like I was prepared for the ministry. Now I remember that morning as I sat in that classroom, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and said, what about this? And what about this? And what about this? And you haven't given it to me. You haven't totally surrendered to me. You haven't given me everything. So therefore, I can't give you fullness because you've not given me everything. And I remember seven guys in the Greek class and a professor gathering around and the Greek professor saying, just stop the class. We're going to pray. And I was open and confessed my need of this second work of grace that we call it in our wholeness movement. My need of being pure, of having a heart purified. And that morning, God came and He witnessed to me that He had done the act in my life. Some of you tonight need to be seeking after entire sanctification. You need to be cleansed. You need to be filled with the Spirit of God. You need to have the total fullness of God within your life. But church, let me quickly hasten on. It doesn't stop there. You see, I think there's a problem with the church. See, you can have all the fullness of God, but once you're saved and sanctified, if you stop there, you're going to become a stunted plant. We have to daily be filled with all the fullness of God. We have to daily surrender all to God. I can take you to times in my life when I face situations and God would show me something and say, oh, Lord, I need to have a time of prayer. I need to put that on the altar. I need to give it to You, Lord. Daily, I want to surrender everything to You. That's part of our pursuing God and maturing in our faith. You say, how do you mature in your faith? Well, first of all, we must pursue God as our first and only passion. Once we're saved and sanctified and He purifies our heart, we must continue to pursue God as our only passion for our life. What's this mean? Philippians chapter 2 lays it out for us. That I may know Him. That I may know Him. You cannot have all of God until you only want all of God. You've got to want God more than anything else. See, we want everything else in this day. We want to hold on to this. Oh, Lord, I want to hold on to my lustful thoughts, man. They just feel so good, Lord. So if I hold on to them, I don't have all of God. Lord, I want to hold on to that pleasure. And if I have that pleasure, I can't have all of God. Lord, I want to hold on to my money. I had a dear, dear saint of God come up to me not long ago and say, Brother Mark, I wish so badly I had given my material possessions to God. In the last stock market crash, he lost several $1 million. He said, I could have had that invested in the kingdom of God, but I held on to it like it was mine.
This thing of stewardship that Brother Doug talked to us about is part of discipleship. And we have to give it all to Him. We have to give everything. Our houses, our lands, our dreams, our plan. I remember when I was a young man, I told you the first night, I was going to study to be a veterinarian. And one of the things when I became entirely sanctified was God asked me to put that on the altar. God said, would you give up that dream? And I said, Lord, I'll give up that dream. And God began to ask me about some other thing. Lord, I'll give that up. I wanted to be a millionaire by the time I was 30. Yes, Lord, I'll give up that dream. I wanted to be famous. Yes, Lord, I'll give that up. Lord, I lay everything down. But there's been times in my life as I've completed my doctorate and gone out and finished things where those temptations have come. I've had a man walk up to me and say, obviously, you're a pretty good administrator. You know how to grow things. Come to work for my company. Name your price. I don't care how many hundred thousand you need. Just come on. I want you to be my guy. And man, was I flattered. And I went home and told my wife, I said, so-and-so offered me such and such. I said, man, I could go do that and I could put that money into the kingdom of God. And the next morning I went to prayer and God said, put it on the altar. Put it on the altar. And it didn't take me long to pray to understand that ministry had to be first. That God had to be first. That's what He called me for. Called me to. And daily I submit and surrender to Him. One of the problems with the church is we've stopped growing after we've become saved and sanctified. And we've got to daily surrender to Him. Wanting God more than anything in our lives. I could stop right there and say to you that probably it's the main issue of the church today. We don't want God more than anything else. We don't want God more than anything else. Why, we can't even make it to prayer meeting. We can't even make it to Sunday night church. We can't even make it to Sunday morning church. Not if our kids have a baseball game or what? If, not if everything else is going on in our life. Those all go first. I'm not a themes preacher, but I'm concerned that everything else crowds out God. I think we got too many idols in our lives. And may God help us to understand that God wants us to pursue a relationship so that we might have the fullness of God in our lives. This was made true to me when I began to understand what it means to pursue God as my first and only passion. I was walking across a Bible college campus one day, and I saw this beautiful young lady walking across the campus. And I thought, I think I'll pursue her. Now, she's sitting right down here, so I'm safe, okay? The two or three before we won't talk about, okay? She said, you just almost didn't get me because you asked two or three others out before you asked me. But I saw Debbie walking across, and I thought, wow, that lady's a nice lady. She has a good reputation. I'd done a little research. I found out who she was. And so I began the pursuit. I took her out on our first date. And I looked at her after that first date, and I said, you want to go out again? I'd like to pursue a relationship. And she said, I don't think so. For all you young people, these women give us guys hard times sometimes. That's all I can say. And so I thought, okay, well, there's more fish in the pond. If that's the way you feel, I'll go ask somebody else out. But I couldn't. She was the one I wanted. She's the one I felt I should pursue. And she's the one I knew would be the right one for ministry. Very early on, I knew that. And so I started pursuing, but I thought, I got to lay back, be a little cool. Well, you know, I can't pursue too hard here. And I thought, I'm going to let her make the next move. So the Thanksgiving banquet's coming up. It's about a month from the time I had asked her out. And I get word through a friend of a friend that if I would ask her out again, she'd go with me this time. I found out another guy she didn't like had asked her out. I thought she was using me, don't you think? And so I finally got up the nerve and I called her and I said, Debbie, I'd like to take you to the Thanksgiving banquet. Would you go with me? And she said yes. Well, over the next few months, we started a courting relationship where I pursued her. I did all the things that I should do to pursue her, and she returned those. Good brownies coming my way. Man, that's great for Bible college students. I thought she can cook. That's all I need. I'm going into the ministry. I'll survive, you know? She started sending over these little snacks, and I thought, this is wonderful. And after a few months, I looked at her and said, I'd like for you to be my wife. Would you marry me? And she didn't answer me. 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and 4 weeks later, I got my answer, and she said yes. Can you believe she made me wait that long? Here I am trying to marry the girl, you know? I'm trying to deliver her from those 8 brothers and 7 brothers she has, 7 brothers and sisters. I mean, I'm giving her a lot of good things. But she said yes. And I had said to her, be a little factual here, honey, tonight. I told her, I said, honey, I'd like to marry you, but I'm going into ministry. If that means going to Africa, or if that means going to Alaska, or if it means going anywhere, I want you to pray about it till you know you can do God's will with me. And so that she prayed until she knew that. Now let me share something with you. Once I was saved and sanctified, I'm to that stage now, because I've asked her to marry. Once I married her, I thought it was all over. I thought everything was great then. But I've found out over 26 years that just being saved and sanctified, or just getting married, that there's far more to a relationship. And so when I'm traveling, what do you think I'm doing? I'm texting her, and I'm calling her, and I'm making communication with her. And I've found out there's certain things she likes. She doesn't just want flowers on Valentine's Day. She likes surprises. So I'll send her flowers when she's not even expecting it. And I found out there's something called Butterfinger BBs that she likes. And I've run all over the place because you can only find them a few places. Trying to find those Butterfinger BBs. Why do I do that? Because I'm still pursuing that relationship. I want her to know I love her. I found out that she likes to go on walks. Now, for a purpose-driven man like me, a walk is a waste of time. Bert, you say amen to that? Why would anybody want to walk around a track? I mean, that makes no sense. I mean, the Scripture's clear that bodily exercise profits little. Why would I do that? But she likes that. She likes just to be with me. And so you find me out taking walks with her. And guys, I'll have to be honest with you. I'm getting to enjoy it. Just hold her hand or just walk around the track and talk to her. Just being with her is what she wants. That's pursuing that relationship. I thought I loved her when I married her. I didn't have a clue of what it took to love someone. But 26 years later, I'm learning to love her. And some of you that have been married 50 and 60 years, you'd say, yeah, Dr. Smith, you've got a long ways to go. But I'm learning. I'm learning to love her. She served me through that accident. She literally swabbed my lips and fed me day after day and changed my clothes when I couldn't do anything. She did it all for me. Here a couple, 3 years ago, she had to have surgery, and there was some concern about cancer, and my heart just fell. And thank the Lord it wasn't cancer, but I went to the hospital with her. And again, I've got to be on the go doing things. The kingdom's short. We've got to get it done. And there she was for that 3 or 4 days, and then 2 or 3 weeks afterwards. And I looked at her after sitting in the hospital with her 2 or 3 days, and I said, honey, you know what I love? I'm just enjoying serving you and loving you. I didn't think I could do it. But I did it because I love her. I've chased all over the country trying to find the right kind of perfume because I know the kind she likes. And it's not readily available. One time right before Christmas a couple years ago, I was in every store in the airport looking. I was at every major store. What could I do? I thought, man, I'm not going to find it. I clicked on the computer, and guys, I got a tip for you. Perfumeoutlet.com is the easiest way, and it's half the price. Go get your lady's perfume there. Save you a lot of time and trouble. But I wasn't about to go into Christmas and not have that perfume for her because I love her. Do you know what I've found out in life? I've found out that as I've grown in the last 30 years in a relationship with Jesus, that Jesus wants that same kind of relationship where I just spend time with Him, where I can just love on Him and He can love on me. One of the greatest things that's happened the last 3 or 4 years of my life, I don't talk a lot in prayer time. I let God talk to me in prayer time. You know, I used to go in, Lord, I need this, and Lord, that's again part of my nature. We've got to get it solved. We've got to pray for an air conditioning. You know, it's got to be fixed tonight. You know, well, that's what we do. And I've watched as God has just started teaching me, Mark, watch out here. Be careful here. Don't, son, get out of the line of what you should be doing here. Let the Holy Spirit check you here, Mark. There's areas of concern here. Mark, you need to grow here. And I've seen God growing, and I've seen me growing in a relationship with God as He has spoken to me. And that love relationship that I have with Debbie, which I treasure and think so highly of her, I've learned that God wants even more of a relationship. All the fullness of God is available if we will pursue Him in that relationship. Are you pursuing God tonight? Is He your only passion? Is He what you live for? Very quickly, there are some things that will keep you from that, and I'll just mention these, not go into a long oratory. But there's some sins that will keep you from getting all of God, from pursuing all of God. You say, well, Brother Smith, I'm saved and I'm sanctified. Well, let me tell you something. I've met a lot of saved and sanctified people, and they get caught up in sin. And they fall away from God. And the relationship is no longer a valid relationship. See, we don't believe that you sin every day in word, thought, and deed in our holiness movement. That's a false teaching. We believe that willful sin is something that can be avoided, that God can do something in your heart to help you not sin every day in word, thought, and deed. You can live victoriously in this day. And it only happens with the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. You can't do it yourself, but the empowerment of the Holy Spirit can allow you to live a victorious Christian life every day. Amen? Now He does say in 1 John 2, if we do sin, we have an advocate with the Father. But let me say something to you. If you study the book of John, John says clearly, sin should not be a habit. Sin should be rare in its exception, and it's only because the flesh and humanity gets in the way. We don't sin every day in word, thought, and deed, but we're pursuing God. But let me give you some things I've seen and as I've preached over the years. Rebellion against light will keep you from pursuing God. Lying will keep you from pursuing God. Oh, it was just a little white lie. Young people, you're all talking out there. Stay with me, guys. Okay? Stay with me. Leaders, help me out there. Lying will keep you away from God. Bitterness and a critical spirit will keep you away from God. I went through that accident, and I was flat on my back. And the devil began to say to me, it wasn't your fault. And it wasn't my fault. The other guy hit me head on. And here I am flat on my back and maybe facing never walking again. And I was going to the doctor and hearing I had to have my fist surgery. And I walked out of that office and a seed of bitterness began to spring up within me. Why did this happen to me? What's going on? We were going up the road. I'll never forget the spot. I could take you to I-69 where I said to my wife, pull off the side of the road right here on the interstate. I can't go any farther. And I said, honey, we've got to have prayer. And I remember breaking down and crying and saying, Lord, I don't know where this thought came from, where this seed came from, but I'm not going to get bitter over this accident. I'm going to be the man of God you want me to be. And right now I lay it on the altar. I give it all to you. You can't let bitterness come up in your life. It will destroy you. And you can't have a relationship with God with bitterness in your life. Every one of us have had mean, bad things happen in our life. If I told you stories of things I've heard, or if I told you stories about my own life, you'd say, why did that happen? Why did that person do it? But we can't allow those things to keep us from the relationship with God. Carelessness in our spiritual lives will keep us away from God. Just not taking time for God. Having time for everything else but God. Lustful thinking and unclean living, sneaking around, flirting in the office, just having a little extra fun on the side, not being true to our wives or true to your husband. Those things will keep you from God. They'll keep you from the relationship. I would say to you the number one issue that we deal with as college presidents, and I talk to my peer college presidents, the number one issue we deal with is pornography in young men. And believe it or not, it's becoming an issue for young women as well. Pornography. I said to my wife last night, pornography has destroyed more people than anything I know of. And all you have to do today is click a button. I don't know what you have to do, but you get a filter. And you get an accountability partner. You do whatever it takes. You ask the Holy Spirit to give you extra special strength. But don't you get involved in pornography. It'll destroy you. It'll destroy your marriage. It'll destroy your family. And as couples, let me say to you, some couples have got this foolish idea going around the world that we can view pornography together and it'll strengthen your marriage. Let me tell you, as a minister of the gospel, I've talked to those couples and their marriages have been destroyed time after time. Time after time, stay away from that filthiness. It'll destroy you. It'll destroy your relationship with God. It'll destroy everything about you, and it'll cause you to be depressed. It'll cause you to sink in and put way too much energy into an area of your life where you don't need to be putting it. Thank God that God created a beautiful relationship for male and female. And by the way, let's say that real loud. It's male and female, not male and male and female and female. And God created a beautiful relationship for male and female to enjoy. But within the bounds of marriage was His definition. You violate that, you can't pursue all the fullness of God. So God says to us, you can have all of me. The donuts are hot. The hot now sign is on. But you have to come and get it. You have to come and get all of me. What are the steps to obtaining more of God? Number one tonight, acknowledge your need of God. Number two, confess any sin in your heart if you want all of God. And number three, surrender everything to Him. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. Will you give everything to God? Let me share with you. If you give everything to God, God says, I'll give you all of me. You can have as much of God as you want in your life.